Blog Talk Radio.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الرحمن الرحيم. مالك يوم الدين. إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين. اهدنا الصراط المستقيم. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Latifa A. Hamid, the CEO for American Muslim 360, the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice is protected.
The views expressed by the host guests are their own and not necessarily the position of AM 360 or the parent corporation, the Community-Wide Shura Conference, CWSC Incorporated. AM 360 content is intended as a community service and is not designed to provide specific personal, medical, financial, or legal counsel or other professional advice, and no liability shall extend to the host or hostesses of AM 360 or CWSC. We encourage you to seek an advisor for your specific circumstance. Now Joshua fought the battle of Jericho,
and the walls came tumbling down. Community-Wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 invite you to promote your organization or event on the number one Islamic radio station in the nation, where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. Affordable rates allow you to promote your event, product, or service and strengthen our national intelligentsia network. Contact corporate underwriting today at info@cwsc.us. That's info@cwsc.us. Or call 910-317-0297. Again, 910-317-0297. Together we can remake the world.
With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. Enjoying the previous program, A New African American Genesis, presented by our Imam Kareem Hamid on the evolution of revolutionary thought and creative purpose. Wonderful title, wonderful production, excellent material from our Imam, where he highlights Imam Muhammad's lectures and invite us to comment. Appreciate that program very much, and we appreciate following that program because we wanted to talk today about culture and its and the influence of language and perception on culture. The influence of language and perception on culture. And you know, we were on government last few weeks, and now we're going to move back up the ladder a bit on the four essentials or the four birds that Imam Muhammad shared with us. And you know, I heard in that lecture, by the way, about the Imam talking about that group philosophy for life, a group philosophy for life. And I see where our imam, our special imam, Ronald B. Shaheed, who goes into those lectures and pull out the essentials that the imam has presented on topics that his book, the book he's editing and publishing, may be presenting at that time. He goes in various lectures and pulls out materials and to address the topic. So the imam was addressing that group philosophy for life you hear us talking about here on this program, which is where we get it from. We get that idea from our imam, who, as he eloquently said, he challenged any PhD to present what he has presented. And I'll present that challenge as well, that we can challenge any PhD or any scholar. We'll go even further. Any scholar who specializes in human development to present a better vision for us than Imam Muhammad has done in his work that we are going to be discovering. He said at once for the next 1,000 years, and I wouldn't doubt that one bit, that this message that we are working with here is going to be bringing life and flowers and structures coming up for the next 1,000 years, and we'll be seeing it in the history of the prophecy of our Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, where the slave mistress and will give birth to her master. The slaves will give birth to the master. Yes. And we believe that prophecy, and we see it. We see the potential for it in our mission here on this planet, in this day and this time, with the movement of El Islam. And make no mistake, El Islam is the new culture needed for our people to progress. That's just the bottom line, and that's what we are going to be looking at. So on culture, I had some verses from the Quran I wanted to, I'm going to ask Michael to be looking up as we proceed. And the two verses are in Surah Ali Imran, 103-105. And it talks about, and then even 110 as well in Surah Ali Imran. And then in chapter 33, there's another couple of verses. I think they're verse 70 and 71 in Surah 33. Forget the name of it right now. But we're going to be looking at those ayahs as we have this discussion. And there's more. We're going to be also drawing parallel on other verses from the Quran where Allah talks about, you know, and I'll start with the 110. Let there arise out of you a band of people enjoining what is right, forbidding what is wrong, and believing in Allah. These are the ones who will obtain felicity. Success, this word felicity means progress and success. So, you know, the potential of language, the influence of language and the potential for cultural development. So we want to have some discussions about that and have some, draw some parallels on how Islam addresses the cultural influence we need. There are many, many ayats, many, many sunnahs, many, many practices of the Prophet that we can draw from. But the lecture that the imam just did was so powerful. And, you know, I used to have my program around 3 on Saturdays, you know, and I was looking at how the breakup between Imam Kareem's program and mine came, And I thought they were such important, so similar. So I say, well, a good strategy for me would be to move my program to 10 a.m. in the morning, come on right after Imam Kareem's program. And because of our topics were so similar, my program, Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty, is designed to present the religion of Al-Islam as a practical, in its practical application, as to how we can get success in the material world, the spiritual world, et cetera. How you can bring those two together and actually see how the religion helps us to realize the best possibilities in the material and spiritual world. So, and using the five pillars, the articles of faith, belief, and the articles of faith, and the belief in Islam, the concepts in Islam, such as Tawheed, oneness, etc., powerful concepts that Allah has established the universe on, where it's all connected. So, yes. And so I said, well, let me move the program. Then I needed more time, and Imam Kareem graciously gave me 30 minutes of his time. So we now have an hour and a half. But following that program where the Imam has presented such powerful topics is always an excellent influence. And look like I never miss when I'm planning a program. I don't know what Imam Kareem is planning. Sometimes I don't, sometimes I do, but don't know the content of it. But it always, it's the same spirit, the same continuation of what he has done. So see these programs connected together as they are on Saturday morning. Just wanted to make that comment. So welcome again, dear listeners, to Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty. And I want to invite the Professor Rabbani, if he's with us, and Imam Michael, salams to you both, inshallah. So Professor Rabbani, salamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam, rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Can you hear me?
Yes, can hear you very well right at this moment. Don't move a thing. Yes. So welcome. I hope you heard my introduction, and I want to have some talk on culture and the influence of language, and the language we are speaking of, Quranic language and Islamic thought, on the potential for culture improvement, right? So I know that's a topic you love. So let's dive in, inshallah. Share some thoughts with us, if you will.
Thank you, brother. Assalamu alaikum. With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, we witness that there is no God but one, and we witness that God is one, and Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is his messenger and our prophet, and we witness that the Quran is the book, the healing book for mankind, and that Al-Islam is the way of life that will bring about a philosophy of life.
Yes.
And we know that we have been blessed with the knowledge and the responsibility to utilize the Quran and to implement it in the way of life, a way of life that will attract all good human beings. It's not just for one particular culture or one particular race or one particular ethnic group. It is a universal message that will bring life back to society and a community. So this is one of the things that you have mentioned about a philosophy of life. Islam has three basic components, and one is the creation. Allah gives us the creation, and then he gives us a brain to engage it. And then he develops, then from that creation and the brain, he brings about a productive life. And that's what we are missing as a society, is a productive life. And these are the things that I will just mention as an opening, because we have we know historically from the Quran and from the teachings that we receive from Muhammad the Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, the one who was against productive life and social life, always wanted to give us a substitute for what Almighty God has planned for the human being. And that plan was to bring nobility and excellence to the human being. So the enemies of the human being developed strategies in language and in words and in images. When we say languages, we're talking about images also, because
yes,
an image, a word, is nothing more than brings a picture to your mind. They know that a word is evolved from looking at the creation, and the creation, the first thing you see is that you see the creation. You see, and then you develop language from seeing the creation because of how the creation behaves. So now you formulate a language, a tree, the ground, the earth, the sky. So if you pollute that language in its pristine way, if you put garbage in the water, you're going to get you're going to get filthy water. If you pollute the air, you get filthy air that you breathe. So by polluting the language, you'll get a result that is not noble or excellent in its makeup. So that's the beginning of corrupting the social life and a philosophy of living. Look at what is happening today. You see how gambling has entered the sports world. Now, there was gambling before in the back alley, but it's now in the forefront. The religious orders have accepted it and never spoke against it. And now you have young kids, children, young children, gambling every day on their cell phone, and made easy for them to gamble. So you've got an addiction that will peep its head up in another 4 or 5 years or half a generation, and it's going to be destructive. So we talk about a philosophy of life stemming from Al-Islam and the Quran.
Yes. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, Professor. Also, Michael, please share some thoughts with us, please. And you got me a little excited there, Professor. You coming out with some very, very, very inspirational words and comments, and making those connections between language, words, and pictures. Yeah, such a wonderful thing. Allah says, calls the ayat in the Quran,
yeah,
as signs, those verses, those words in the Quran, ayats, as signs. Michael, please share some thoughts with us, if you would. Michael, are you on mute? Are you muted? Michael, we still can't hear you. Are you muted?
Oh, okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can. Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm glad I just found something out about this equipment that I've got. I was concerned about an issue And I just found out a little bit more about my equipment. Okay, so yes, I wanna begin my comment with reading the verse 105 from the Quran, the Surah Ali Imran. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is the Sahih Muslim rendering. And it says, "And do not be like the ones who became divided and differed after the clear proofs had come to them. And those will have a great punishment." That's verse 105 and of Surah 3. And there's a need for there's really a need for an understanding of how we as African Americans have been socialized. You know, you see it in the barbershop, and you see it other places where individuals who want attention become very argumentative, you know, and the expression of arrogance, and you know, you see it in other areas in terms of African Americans, how we've been socialized. Entertainment, you know, there's a urge in many of us to want to entertain, you know, to be entertainers, to get attention. And you know, the more we become aware of these things that are problematic in causing us to come together, to identify the best among us, the most inspired among us, to take us further into a better situation. You know, I have a friend that I worked with in Birmingham, Richard Finley. And I don't know where he got the idea from, but he said dealing with us is like trying to herd cats. Cats are very individualistic. That's not really the nature of human beings. Cats are very independent thinking, you know, and they move. You cannot herd cats because of their instinctual nature. You cannot herd them. But the human being is designed by God to be sociable, you know, to work collectively, to work together. So something has happened with the African American social conditioning to see ourselves as rugged individualists, and a lot of the educational conditioning increases that in us. I shared with the audience some time back. I'm going to conclude with this. I shared with the audience some time back with a friend. I think she's still in the political area. She became a Alabama state representative, but she worked as an organizer. A shop steward in the nursing union, and she was trying to get some of the nurses at the hospital. It was a veterans hospital, to join the union for better working conditions, and she was having a lot of difficulty. And one of the, you know, she was a supervisor. And one of her co-supervisors, a Caucasian lady, told her, you know, privately, "Well, Mary, you know what the problem is. You know, they went to our schools. You know, how you going to get them when we trained them to be a certain way? We trained them to be sensitive to certain things. We trained them." Now, she didn't say all this, but this was the implication. "We trained them not to join together. You know, we didn't train them to join together, to think collectively. You know, you have to do that on your own. We have to do that on our own dime, particularly when we have a lot of education, because the educational environment is structured to produce a certain product, to not serve our interests, but to serve other people's interests. And I stop with that.
Yes, and certainly you're absolutely right. That's why you see businesses funding education, because they're training people to fit into their model. But I wanted to circle back to a couple of things, just to point out a couple of things. A group philosophy for life is one thing. As you were talking, how we have this idea of individual. I'm an individual. I don't need to work with anyone. I could do this myself. It affects us all across the board when we don't have the group philosophy, where we are looking at moving our life forward as a collective, not as an individual. That's a real problem that we face, you know, and that ayat I've opened with, that they'll rise out of you a band of people. You know, and you've mentioned, Imam Muhammad has mentioned in the lecture going by, he talked about how a small group of the Sahabas had to impose good behavior on those who wanted to practice crime and evil, et cetera, et cetera. It had to be imposed on them. So it doesn't, you're never going to have a whole, mass numbers like we saw in the prophet days, perhaps, and where we've seen some examples in this day with people professing to come into al-Islam. But you're never going to have all of these people to focus on a single vision, a single mission, and pull it and bring it forward. It's going to be a few people, and that could be 1,000, it could be a couple of thousand or hundreds. But in our smaller areas, if I heard the Imam mention, if we can get 3 to 5 people to work together, we're on our way. We're on our way. So we're going to take a break, then circle back to Professor with that. And hold that thought in mind, Professor, and share some thinking with us on the group, the need for that group effort. And Allah points these things out in the Quran, in the language of the Quran, how we have to be oriented to be working together and band together. So don't touch that dial. You're listening to Preparing to Make It in the Land of Plenty. We'll be back in a while.
God's peace be upon you. This is Muhammad Sharif. As we know, everything begins with the seed. Rain International is world leader in seed nutrition and the first to market seed-based products. Our flagship product is called Soul, S-O-U-L. The main ingredient is the black cumin seed. Here are a few reasons to drink Soul. Supports a healthy immune system. Give the body the boost to stay healthy and strong. Improve indigestion. Decrease infection. Remove inflammation and other benefits. This is an opportunity to improve your health and increase your wealth. Please call or text me at 914-434-375. Please join me in supporting CWSC, the Community-Wide Cereal Conference, and AM360 in remaking the world into a better place. We support the 50-year human family planning and look forward to doing business with you. Our website is raininternational.com. We are available at any time. Please call this number, 914-434-3275. Thank you.
And we're back. We're back.
All right, Professor, please share some thoughts with us. You were coming in loud and clear this morning.
I had to do some tinkering like Michael, you know, so I kind of figured out the reasoning behind the clarity. So
yeah,
when you mentioned that that reference to Quran, let there rise out among you a band who are given to that which is right and forbidding that which is wrong, right?
Yes,
you said ban, right? So when you said ban, I said, well, all you need is a drummer, saxophone, singer. I mean, you got about four or five, huh? That's a band, right?
Yes, it is.
So that band can attract a tremendous amount of people if they're playing the right song, right? Or the right music, you know. In fact, this is just a comparison, you know. And when you mention about Michael mentioned about the philosophy of education, it's not a education that binds or builds a cohesiveness and cooperation. I could bear witness to that because I taught at the university for 20-some years, and especially in professions like architecture. Architecture, they want you to go to your little place and come up with an idea, a design, and then present it, and then critique it. But they never are talking about let there come together four or five students for a project to present. You know, only very rarely, and that what it does, it builds this this method builds up selfishness and egotism. That I'm better than you all, and I'm better, I'm the best, and all in that, rather than a cooperative team effort. When you go when you play these sports, it's team effort. So when we talk about social life that we have, you know, we have been redirected to life, and a spirit of production. And the biggest thing that has happened is that we've been directed to the fun spirit, not the productive spirit, but the fun spirit. And because of that, we see a whole generation. I just see a whole generation of young people and older people. When I say older people, I'm saying 30, 35, 40, you know, 50, 60, who have lost their eagerness to be productive and to counter any kind of evil that comes up. It is the duty. The government can't do this. It has to come from education. It has to come from the religious order, evil, that is being perpetuated on society. So the government, in our government, is not that role is separate, you see, separate. So now people are trying to come up with, yes, we need religious order. We need to have the role of religion in the government. No, this is the way our society has been established. So we have to be, as a religious order, the religious people, we have to combat that just with a group. That's why it's important to have religious unity from different parts, the different religious orders to come together. And let's face gambling. Let's face drug addiction, the idea of homosexuality. Let's face the idea of abortion. We have to deal with it from the religious order, what Almighty God says, and to emphasize that, and not be bullied into keeping quiet. So that's forming a kind of order, social order, and philosophy that can work in this free market society, as we call it. See, ma'am? Hello? You there?
Yes. Can you hear me, Michael? Yeah, can you hear me?
That's like a lamp spreading light.
Yes.
You have to enlighten your society. You know?
Yes, we can hear you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. All right. Appreciate it, Professor. Thank you so much for those comments. You know, and And we, I think, especially how we have to have that group interest, you know. And I heard the ma'am challenge the community in the previous program. Said he said, join with me, whatever your belief for this new African American Genesis. You know, this concept, I believe that, let me just share this, Michael, then I'm going to let you bring some comments as well. I believe there are times, everything has a time. You know, the Bible, there are verses, a time for the harvest, a time for planting, a time for this. But everything has a time. And I believe this is the time for us to focus on the African-American contribution to the progress for society, including in it the fundamental establishment of the Islamic faith as a catalyst for this. You know, we were talking about Mali Timbuktu this morning on Imam Kareem's program. And I really think that if you look at the science, Beyond Bilal, books coming out now showing all the Sahabas of the Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him, as having our ethnicity, as I'm going to use that term, our ethnicity. And many scholars are looking at how Mali and Timbuktu and et cetera, and how the African continent actually was said in one saying the birthplace of the first free Islamic society. Africa was that place where that happened, in Abyssinia. So I just look at these things, and I look at these things as signs. Now, so much information is available out there in terms of historic research. And, you know, I heard Imam Kareem say, called our scholarly, so-called scholarly African-American as cowardly Negroes who refuse to bring forth the picture and the productive life that al-Islam presented on the African continent and the world scene, how it revived civilization. So I'll stop there, Michael. Please share some thoughts with us.
Alhamdulillah. Yes. You know, Imam Muhammad also, in his informing us that the Afrocentrists point to a much weaker history of our people on the African continent. Historically, you know, you can see that Christianity, the Coptic, what they call the Coptic Christian religion, and al-Islam are the two major factors in terms of the advancement of Africa over a substantial period of time. So I'll just stop there. Alhamdulillah.
Let me just mention something, Michael,
yes,
in relationship to that. The Europeans studied Africans so much. They understood the cohesiveness of tribal nature. And they said if we could introduce an idea to them, we will have them. Saint Basil, who was one of the leaders in the Christian society or community in history, he was a great influence, began to understand to use some of the pagan ideas to introduce Christianity to those who they wished to generate the enthusiasm for Christianity. And signs and symbols were the method by which they can convey to those who didn't have a a real grasp of their language. Only a very few people could study Igbo and other types of languages that ruled Africa. Africa is the biggest problem. Africa is the language problem, communicating, and this pride in their tribalism. So Basil was the one who created, his group created the idea of images. The Caucasian image of the savior, and showing a pitiful scene of blood and gore in a savage way, the thorns going into the head, the spear going into the heart, the blood coming out of the hands and feet. So that idea is the a real perpetuating idea, especially in the area of what was Abyssinia, now is Ethiopia. And these are the things that cause people in these areas not to be productive for themselves, but to get production from Europe and build their, or China, and build their communities. And they themselves don't have the appetite to actually do it themselves, but their leaders, because of all kinds of different schemes, they're the ones who bring these people in, and then they're burdened with debt, loans, and things of this nature.
So
this has been a scheme going on for many, many years and centuries now.
Yes. Thank you. You know, Professor, you mentioned two things, influence and appetite. I was listening to these two words you used there. And, you know, and when you said influence, you know, now we have what's called influencers on the Internet, right? And they are getting paid big money to promote an idea, a concept, influencers, they call them. And, you know, lately there's been some talk about them working in the political sphere, being paid to promote a certain political ideology or something, but also having the appetite, having the spirit, and I'm going to change appetite to spirit, having the spirit to move beyond what we accept to be normal and embrace what we know to be right, what we know to be the best possibility or potential for us, I think is very important. Michael, please share some thoughts with us, if you would.
Alhamdulillah, I just reordered a Genesis of a New American Leadership by the former executive director of Muslim Community, CWSE, Community Wide Shura Conference. Because as I read portions of it, I remember that it was an inspired book in terms of organizing ourselves. And this is something that we have to understand as a group who say we identify and that we follow Imam Wahdi Muhammad, with students of Imam Wahdi Muhammad, that we need to understand things that are blocking our progress, that are getting in the way of us organizing ourselves for better production. The idea of an intelligentsia that you hear offered over community-wide Shura Conference and American Muslim 360 Radio, this idea is different from the dictionary idea of intelligentsia. It's an idea that is concerned about the group progress, and that is something that Imam Muhammad mentioned in terms of helping us to see what this focus is, that the educated, those that have been favored with the conditions to have their mind, their intellect strengthened and developed, that the educated professionals, and look up that word professional, it's not just lawyers and doctors, the educated professionals, should translate their language, that is the language of their profession, the language of their work, translate their language to help the everyday man and woman be more productive. Now, that's intelligentsia, as I see it, from Imam Muezzin Muhammad. And it's important for us to grasp, to grab a hold of that idea, and to grab a hold of the idea of educated, what educated means. Because there are people that are functioning in the world that are trained. They're not able to connect knowledge with knowledge. You know, they have a certain pattern of training or development, but they're not educated. They're not educated in the sense that Allah tells us what education is. And this is very important. The world is socially conditioned. This world is not educated by and large. We have pockets of scholarly work with the proper human sensitivities, but by and large, this world is a world that has been trained, and the devil is in the details of what Satan has put into the hearts and minds of the people. You know, he's the one that has learned how to influence people to suggest, you know, to suggest changing of feelings. You know, the devil invites us, you know, one day to say, oh, yeah, I love Imam Muezzin Muhammad. I support Imam Muezzin Muhammad. And the next day, you know, you're cautious. You're not afraid to look into what he's saying and see how you can apply it to your life. And it's a pitiful situation that we have to come out of. We got to come out of this situation. Thank you.
Yes, we do. Let me just tram right in on top of what you're saying right there, Michael. You know, I challenge. This is a challenge to our intellectually accomplished people. Why are you not here? Why are your voice not here? We have Professor Rabbani Muhammad. I invited him one time to be on this program, and he is an educator. I knew his ability. I knew his interest, and I invited him one time to be on this program, and the next time I didn't have to invite him. He invited himself to come back and share. So, I'm saying, Professor, please forgive me for highlighting this, but I'm using you as an example for this particular idea. So, where's that interest in our highly educated community to look at this potential platform with the 50-year human family plan? What a noble idea. And Michael, you gave some verbiage to this the other night when you talked about having people with the experience. You know, we got financial planners who know how to structure these type of plans and put them into place, bring the language, bring the technical training to put these things into place. And where are they? What are they doing? Out somewhere partying or what? What are they doing? So, Why we don't see that? You know, I was invited to come to this platform by Mukhtar Muhammad, and Sister Nala, Martha Nala, invited me to come on platform. And I said, well, okay, well, let me figure out what I can contribute to that. And so I joined. So that's been maybe 5, 6, 7 years ago. Every week we are here presenting topics to try to stimulate the spirit of cooperation and working together and seeing how the religion can improve the life of the people. So I challenge our intellectually accomplished people to join with this platform and help with this intelligentsia that's being developed here. Help bring some expertise to it. Give us the technical ability of the training that the white man gave you. I'm going to use that language. That the white man gave you now to progress our people. So that's a challenge to them. And I'll take the consequences anytime you want to cuss me out or whatever. No matter. Michael, we have any callers in the queue?
Yes, sir, we do. We've got 314-833. Welcome. State your name and where you're calling from.
Assalamu alaikum. to you, Imam Delisi Omar, and to you, Professor Rabbani Muhammad and Michael Hameen. Yes, sir. From the STL St. Louis in extremely state of Missouri. Alhamdulillah. Praise and thanks belongs to God first and foremost. Excellent question that you was asking there, Imam Delisi Omar. I have originally just pressed because in the beginning I couldn't. It was a little muffled, Brother Michael, when you was reading Ayah, I believe, 105 from Surah Ali Imran, the third chapter. I couldn't understand. It was kind of muffled in that regard. And I originally pressed one, and I stayed in the queue. I forget I was in the queue, but since I'm on, I just want to make some comment. This is a very timely topic in terms of culture. Something Imam Muhammad said many, many years ago is on record for saying in terms of the importance and significance of culture. He said, you know, if we had really culture expression in our community, that it can be more influential, powerful than an imam giving a good khutbah. You know, I'm paraphrasing what he said in that regard, but he was really putting the emphasis on culture, because what culture actually should involve more than just what people think in terms of our dress, our food, way of living. It embodies our principles and our values. I've enjoyed everything that's been said by all of you because all of you are right on point. But the root meaning of education is to cultivate. Really to cultivate the best that Allah has put into the human being and where he has placed us geographically on this planet Earth and bringing out the best of us in terms of establishing our principles and values, but also in our way of expression. So when you enter religion, and as Imam Muhammad has given us the root of religion, is to realign us with the original nature in that regard, then we can have the best of cultural expression as human beings. And this can help to really impact, and this should become a tradition for excellence in what it is that we do. And not separating, I think Brother Imam Delisi was mentioning about the spiritual reality and the material reality. They are to come together and be one, working together. Actually, that word individuality is actually it means non-divided duality that we all have as a possibility. And so coming together and bringing that together, but also being expressed in the culture expression, it actually gives unity to the life that Allah has given to us in that regard. I know I said a lot, and I know you have other callers, and so to be respectful, to give them time to express themselves, but I want to express that because it's so very, very important, and we see that non-existent in many of our people today. Either they're just all spiritual with no material reality, and Imam Muhammad didn't want us to be a spook people, or they're all materialistic with no spiritual reality, and so obviously makes them very open and gullible, as Brother Michael was expressing to the devil. And lastly, Allah has said in the Quran, it is the shaitan that creates false desire. That goes back to what you were saying, Brother Imam DeLacy. So appetite, I equate appetite with desire. So Allah has said that the shaitan creates the false desire, the false appetite. But if there's a false desire, then there would be a true desire. And the true desire is to always, in this life, to be pleasing to our Lord and Creator who gave us this life. I could say more, but I think I said enough.
Thank you.
Alaykum.
Thank you, Mark. Alaykum as-salam. We got the caller 972. Welcome. State your name and where you're calling from.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum, Ishmael family, Dallas. How's everyone? Yes.
Alaykum as-salam.
Yes, alhamdulillah, we well, Ishmael, welcome.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I'm like my first brother. Y'all talked about so much, man. There's so much to talk about, but the cooperation is what I want to talk about first. When my brother said a band of people, and then he said all you need for a band is, you know, two or three instruments, and you got a band.
Mm-hmm.
And it brought my mind to group genius, creative genius, where you're playing a basketball game. I used to play, you know, rec ball or something, and you get a team. And y'all have never played together before, but you know you're staying on the court the whole time you're there, because that's
yes.
that group understanding. Or you get a jazz
yes.
group of jazz players, and somebody comes in with a sax, and then somebody gets on a piano, and then they may make music that's more attractive than a whole full orchestra, you know. And,
yes.
and that's what we should do, you know, especially in the education part. We should be doing group activities, not just individual, you know, individualism. And that cooperation brought me to that phrase. I'm sure y'all probably talked about it on the show, that the philosophy of Ubuntu, I think that's what it's pronounced, where I am because we are. That's an African philosophy, Ubuntu. And it translates a person is a person through other people. And they always tell about that famous story that's related to Ubuntu, where the anthropologist, he created a game for a group of children in Africa. He placed a, you know, basket of fruit under a tree, and he told them whoever reached it first would win all the fruit. So instead of children competing, they held hands, ran together, and they all crossed the line at the same time so they could share the fruit.
Yeah.
And the anthropologist asked them why. And they simply said Ubuntu. I am because we are. And I really believe those anthropologists, they exploited certain ones of us to get rid of that type of understanding, or to single out certain individuals that may not have that understanding to exploit the others. And I think they use that as part of you know, colonization. I truly believe that. That's my thoughts on it.
Yes.
And then the third point, when my brother asked why don't these highly educated Muslims, why don't they, you know, participate in these type of activities? And I really think that they live more of a secular life. Not that they're not praying every day. Not that they're not practicing the religion. But I think they're only practicing it almost as an individual, because we didn't achieve all these great achievements through just praying and going through the five rituals that we do. We did it by using our mind. A lot of these philosophers and scientists, they would quote a surah from the Quran before they start their educational, their scientific exploration. It'll be a quote from the Quran before they begin anything, and that takes them on that path. And I think a lot of us, we don't really emphasize that part. We're just happy being a great dentist or a great engineer, you know, taking care of our family, not understanding that there's a whole nother part to it. And I'll stop there. Thank you.
Thank you, Ishmael.
Yeah, and I appreciate that as well, Ishmael, that you remind me, because I really wanted to do a disclaimer because I know there are so many of us doing many things on, as you said, individual levels. But what we are talking about is the group interest and how we need to develop that group philosophy for life and to bring emphasis. That's what the program is about today, to bring emphasis on the need for that group philosophy for life. And we have invited us to. Yes.
We have another caller.
Let's go to our caller, Mike.
Caller
77.
Where you calling for? Yes.
Salam alaikum. This is Bilal from New Orleans, Louisiana.
Welcome, Brother Bilal.
Alhamdulillah. Allahu Akbar. They got something I wrote I'd like to share. Alhamdulillah. Like Adam, you must become developers. So let's continue pooling our resources together. God will make things better. Prophet Muhammad had a call of excellent unbelievers, responding to important issues, the courage to join the liberator, being the staunch supporter. Problems were solved. It took time and love. Basic Islamic principles, share and live what we know, being more responsible, a balance with the spiritual and material. Let's not play down our creation as we advance civilization. Our service to God is greater than the creation. Become wise, utilize it. Never stop them giving the invitation. We are the greatest to be accepted to obey God and expand our minds, live in progress by reading creation signs. Man carries the burden of responsibility for his family, then his community, acquiring wealth, trading goods, benefiting from his global destiny, establishing peace, taking care of other social needs. Life is complicated. Partnership with other families. We are going to form bigger social units and social construction. International trade, a logical conclusion. All life is connected. All life is sensitive. Utilizing creation, God will be more productive. I rest my case. Increase your faith. Remain safe. Negativity affects our spirit. Allah's mercy is a benefit. The Quran shows our value more than anything on this earth. No matter what, God loves us, so keep him first. We must apply the knowledge to the circumstances in our neighborhood. Hopefully we aren't being misunderstood. Step outside, take a look. Y'all know where I'm coming from. Assalamu alaikum.
Yes.
Alaikum assalam.
Thank you. Yes, thank you so much. You know, Michael, let me just say this before we move on. You know, when in this challenge to our professionals, I want them to understand my respect for the educated and those who have spent time and study and money to become educated. And I highly respect that. I'm not trying to minimize that sacrifice, and certainly they deserve to get paid back, because most of them in student debt. They've spent so much time and effort to become educated. But what we are encouraging is to use that education, be willing to share some of that back to the community, because you know if we were to look at our platform on the hosts on these programs, we have very few hosts that are college graduates, and what happens in college graduates is you're not trained. They don't give you knowledge. They train you in the use of knowledge, how to use it, how to research, how to develop it. That's what I think is the thing that we miss the most in not being educated. We don't have the technical training on how to implement knowledge, and that's what can be brought to this platform by our educated ones who have skills in special areas, and we expect them to call you know, we shouldn't have to search for that. We shouldn't have to be, well, who can do this? Who can do this? And calling them. If they know this platform exists, they should be calling us to say, let me help. How can I help? But the idea of generosity, this is the thing that's missing. Zakah, sadaka, willing to give something. That's the spirit we are missing, and that's what I'm addressing here. So, Professor, if we like we have any other calls, I'm going to move on. I'm going to leave this topic. Sir. But I
yes, sir. But that's very important. Yes, sir.
Yes.
No one in the queue.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to make an announcement, I think. I don't know if you made an announcement earlier, but Imam Khalil from Charlotte, Masjid al-Shaheed, he transitioned yesterday.
No, we didn't.
We didn't know.
So
we didn't know.
Everybody who is listening will please make a dua for his soul. And his great effort that he lived as a person who was educated and applied his education to bring the best out of the community in Charlotte. And we talk about the definition of education is to bring out the Greek word eduge is to bring out that which is. When you get educated, you bring something in, and then that will you have to take bring it out. You see, in order to be really known as an educated person. So he did that, and may Allah grant him the highest level of paradise.
Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, and may Allah comfort the family and friends.
And that's by the way, our sister Kalita's father. That's our sister program, our program that manager father. So we hope we send her our heartfelt condolences and for her and the family, and that Lord make it easy for the family. We know this is part of life.
Yes. I believe Imam Kareem. Someone mentioned. It may have been Martha Nyla or Imam Kareem, that Imam Akbar's wife is also ill, and we make dua for her and again family.
I mean. Thank you for that, Professor. Thanks for sharing that with us and allowing us to have that opportunity. So, Michael, whose turn is it? I done got all distracted here. I did a little more talking than I usually do.
I think the last thing you mentioned was somebody trying to cuss you out. But anyway.
Go ahead, Professor.
That's the battle. That's the battle that is between the materialist and the secular. And the spiritual life, and Shaitan, his greatest weapon is the fear of loss.
Yeah,
see, most people when they graduate and they get in a position to start earning money, two things happen. One, they begin to the first thing they do, and this is what I teach. The first thing they do when they get that check is get something to eat, all right? So that appetite.
You know, I was thinking about that. I was thinking about your boy Winston from Florida State when he took a picture of himself with a big lobster.
You see, so this
once
is
he
the
got
fear.
Signed that contract with Tampa Bay, right? He had a big picture of a lobster.
And this grows. This takes other dimensions. You see, the one that's feeding you with the hand that's feeding you, you don't want that hand to be disturbed. You see, and that's why our people, we have some great orators. We have some great people who can tell you about the white man and the devil and everything else. But when it comes to the idea that's going to keep the hand that's feeding them away from them, oh, they are going to they will buck dance and then sell you out, because that's the history of the so-called civil rights movement. They didn't they weren't like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Honorable Elijah Muhammad, during that "May Allah forgive my sins and grant him paradise," oh, he was bold. He didn't care whether you try to come at him or not, you know, because he knew that the greater service was with the people and bringing our people out of the darkness into the light, and preparing his son to take the position of a universal position that would bring light and bring the people who have lost the light of Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him, to bring that, to increase that light, just like what we call the transfiguration in the Bible of Elijah and Isa. They were just Moses looking at, and they were that was the light of those prophets, and to bring it into a position and a perspective that we can use in the in 2024 and on to rescue and help not only America but the whole world, because the whole world is going to benefit by what we do, by this language and by our dedication to changing the conditions of human life. At least we have to present it, and once we present it, just like Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon him, then it's left up to the people to either accept it or reject it.
Yes.
And the line.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for that, Professor. So, Michael, share some thoughts with us, if you would, please. When you're done.
I want to let you know we've got two in the queue. We've got a new caller and a return caller.
Let's go to our new caller.
213, welcome. State your name and where you're calling from.
All right. Assalamu alaikum. This is Brother Amin, Sister Claire Muhammad, stemschool.com. Sister Claire Muhammad, stemschool.com. Alhamdulillah. Can you hear me clearly?
Yes, we can.
Yes,
very clear.
Yes, sir.
All praise be to Allah. Alhamdulillah. Your show is preparing to make it in the land of plenty. And we, you know, that I am of the mind that we have to understand as much as we can about finance and economics and how society works. And I would start off by pointing the audience to two videos. One is called "All Wars Are Bankers' Wars." All Wars Are Bankers' Wars. A beautiful, like, 45-minute take on how we get into these wars and who's behind it. And then another one is The Money Masters. The Money Masters. That's an incredible documentary that goes into the Federal Reserve and how money is created out of thin air and how they're getting away with murder and how it explains that 2008 debacle that the whole world went through, and so many people lost millions of dollars worth of property and everything. So I'll leave it right there. All wars are bankers' wars. I would really, really, really recommend you look at that. And The Money Masters. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing. So, all right, Michael. Thank you, Amin. Alhamdulillah. So, Michael, please share some thoughts with us.
One more caller. Yes, sir. And then you want me to go to break.
Yes, please.
Caller?
Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalam.
Alhamdulillah. Look, this is very important, especially for the environment we're in today. So I'm have to read this. And alhamdulillah. Wage for achievement in society is a political order. He was taken talking about proclamation. He was taken from a human foundation to a political order. And once he got to the political order, he understood how to raise his people up from human nature and spirit to political ascension. It did not say he came down. It took him up and he traveled to that place. It did not say he came down there. Political ascension above spiritual ascension. So he said political ascension. Political ascension is above spiritual ascension. Though it's not given that way, because when you go up, when you ascend upward, you cannot go any farther than your natural life and spirit permits you to go. And when you have to come down to build society, going up gives insight, vision, and understanding. And when he ran up to that level, we're talking about Prophet Muhammad, obviously he was not satisfied. That is why God calls him to travel, whereas others went up to that level and they were satisfied. They stopped on that level, and they never established the kingdom of God. He had to travel to fulfill the need of his soul. So when he traveled, he went to the kingdom of the Jews. God showed him, this is what I want you to do, but do it for humanity. Then he had the political vision, and he came down, and he went to Medina, and he did. That's how that book, wonderful. That's the book, Education of Sacred Matter. So I'm
going
to take that down.
Establishing the material life is what the ascension produced. Yes. Thank you, Bilal.
Thank you. And we have 12. We have 12 minutes. 12 minutes, Imam.
We got another.
And you
want
to go to a break? No, sir. We've got 12 minutes, and we've got the public service announcements.
All right, let's do that, Michael, please. Thanks.
There's a place where words make people, a place where you're invited to expand your heart and mind. There's a place where your intellect is respected and your voice protected. You're listening to the American Muslim 360 Radio Network, 24/7. Muslim hosted, from religion and current world events, politics, faith and education, marriage and health, music and arts, physical fitness and more. Join AM360, where we're helping to build a model community every day. It's a place where you can help remake the world.
See the full picture.
Feel the void.
Read the Muslim Journal.
Bringing humanity together.
It's news with truth.
It's journalism with understanding.
Each week, Muslim Journal features the latest headline stories. Get a fresh perspective on American politics with informative editorials on the news and stories that affect you and your community the most. Muslim Journal also features exciting reports from around the globe. Subscribe to the Muslim Journal and stay informed about the world we live in today.
See the full picture.
Subscribe to the Muslim Journal today.
We're back and we have a recall caller. We've got about 9 minutes.
Okay, caller, state your name, where you're calling from, and be brief.
Yes. Assalamu alaikum, Mark Shahid again, and I'll be very brief. Yes, just want to just remind us in terms of Imam Muhammad speaking about the popular culture, since today's topic was on culture and the influence, the impact that it can have, and to remind us that establishing our culture should be enhanced by the religion of Al-Islam in terms of our principles and values in expressing that. That we don't want the popular culture to swallow up the culture that's being influenced by the way of life that Allah has prescribed for us.
Yes.
Assalamu alaikum.
Thank you. Thank you so
alaykum
much.
Alaykum as-salam.
All right. So let's circle back, Professor, some final comments. If you would share with us something you may have interest of.
Yes, I have been thinking about for the last few days about the Muslim leadership and the worldwide leadership, and how weak and fake many of them are. And I was concerned. I was listening about the event that happened in English Channel, how so many migrants were drowned because and the people were trying to figure out, why would they want to leave their country? And what I see is that the greatest and the richest countries are in the African, on the African continent. And because of the ignorance and the fear of the weakness of leadership, and especially the worst countries that are now perpetuating this these people to leave are predominantly Islam or Muslim countries, people where you have a majority of Muslims. And I won't say bother me. It angers me, and I know we're not supposed to get angry, but that's natural, man. When I see women and children and babies dying because they want a better life, and they have all they have to do is the leadership and obey the leadership that comes out of Muhammad the Prophet, peace be upon, and have the courage to do it. Damn, you know, it's just it becomes it runs my blood pressure up, the Western countries know that they can only survive if they keep the leadership ignorant and away from the teachings that we have in America under the leadership of Imam W. Muhammad. They want to keep that away from them because it will spark energy and desire to change the whole world from material life. Yes.
Yeah. We working every day to defeat that plan, and it's really it really means that not to be controlled by anger. That's the key.
Right.
You're supposed to be angry at this stuff, you know, but your anger should make you develop a strategy, change it in the
That's
situation,
right.
not just be huffing and puffing. So we definitely do whatever we can.
That's why I'm not in jail now, right?
Well, go ahead, Michael.
A lot, way, but
because it's enough to make you want to go to jail. It is, really.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's
what
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh,
so
go
ahead.
Martyr yourself, you know, be willing to die, you know, for
what
you're fighting against, what you see. But I'd just like to say that there are times when I mention Imam Muhammad's name and how he has mentored my life and he has led me to a place where I'm in a room with people that I highly regard, and I find that they regard me. But I just want to say, early in Imam Muhammad's leadership, he invited us to analyze our relationships, to really look at our relationships and look into them and how those relationships are performing, how we are performing. And it's very important if we are going to get to a point where the small band of people, because it's never taken the many to have social progress. It's always a few people. A band, B-A-N-D, as the professor stated. But we've got to look at the social conditioning. It's not just us, it's the whole world, but we need to pay attention to our circumstances, the social conditioning that has affected us, and to consciously be aware of it and to recondition ourselves socially. Let the Quran heal those sensitivities that have been warped, that have been distorted, and get the proper human social sensitivities that we need to really become a community. You know, all this talk about the community of Imam Muhammad, you know, and you find people still holding on to grudges from the past. You find imams that are cautious of their own community because they've been burnt by presenting projects and have individuals within the community undermine those projects. And this is a sad state of affairs, because the Quran, in its healing language, calls us to trust God, that God is over the process. He's over our developmental process and the developmental process of those that we have come into relationship with. So I'll stop there, Imam. We've got 2 minutes.
Yes, appreciate that, Michael. I'll take one. Professor, I'm going to give you one more minute to say some final remarks, and then we'll get ready to close.
Well, that's a great observation that Michael made, that imams, they're burdened with a group of people that they have to contend with. And when we talk about we are talking about people who have to be qualified. Before you jump on a qualified by understanding the Quran and the subject matter that you have to that you are going to be presiding over, and you must respect knowledge. You must respect people's qualifications. You have to qualify.
Yes.
You must qualify, and then you can have a good opinion. Okay, but when you don't and you're not qualified, you don't have an experience, and you disrespect people's experience and qualifications, you look like a donkey. You act like a donkey.
Yes, sir. Yes. Thank you, Professor. So Michael, I'm gonna just refer back to you. I've had a good say today, and we're gonna circle back to culture and the influence of language. We'll sum it up again next week, and because it's a very powerful topic that we have to engage. We have to engage this topic. So, Michael, share some final thoughts and close us out.
Okay, what I want to do, let me see here. Yes, I want to ask Sister Martha whether or not the cultural connection will be aired today, or whether there's a meeting of the host meeting.
Yeah, there is a host meeting scheduled, I believe. Sister, I forgot about that.
Sister Martha?
Yeah.
Your mic is open.
I think there is a host meeting scheduled at 12, Michael.
Okay. So that means we have an hour. I'm trying to find out logistics.
Yes.
Martha Nala, your mic is open.
Imam Kareem should know. Maybe if he could chime in, we'd be thankful.
Yeah, let me get – I forgot. Yeah, alhamdulillah. Imam Kareem, can you share with us? Yeah.
Yes, assalamu alaikum. You know, the host meeting takes precedence over our regular programming. It is so essential. So we are still scheduled to have the quarterly host meeting this afternoon, inshallah.
Okay. All right,
so
thank you.
What about the Culture Con? Is they going to be on at 12? I guess was the other question. And certainly we know Sister Teresa would be on at 5. Yeah, at 11. I'm sorry, 11 to 12.
7 o'clock. Yes, sir. Okay.
Do you know about that, Imam?
Well, if Culture Con is coming on at 11 and they have an hour,
sir.
Then
okay,
the host meeting begins immediately after Culture Con.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, man.
Thank you, man.
Okay. Yes. We got 11:01, and so I'll just say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Imam DeLacy?
Yes.
Your final words.
Yeah, just alhamdulillah. We appreciate everyone, and we'll circle back with the topic next week. So we say, Rabbana atina fid dunya hasanatan wa akhirati hasanatan wa qina adhab an-nar. Oh, Allah, give us good in this world and give us good in the next. Save us from the fire, penalty of the fires of passion and the hellfire.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.